When Danny was speaking earlier at the beginning about the tragedies that have overtaken our country, I was reminded of what was written in my autograph book. The very first thing that was ever written in an autograph book that I had by a very, very godly lady who very few of you would remember. She was my Auntie Agnes, Mrs. Owen. And she wrote this: to lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. But to lose your soul is something nothing can restore. And people have lost wealth. To some degree, people have lost their health. Our prayers should be for those people that are going through these terrible times, that God, through His Spirit, may use them and others to bring the most valuable thing in life to their attention, and that's knowing the Lord Jesus as Saviour. We've got some school kids here. I'm sure that they are looking forward to going back to school. I just want to remind you that there is 16 sleeps to school. I can remember going to school. And like some of those faces down there that I just saw, I didn't particularly enjoy it either. But I did love history. That was a great subject. We had a great teacher. But I hated chemistry and physics. They made no sense. I did chemistry and physics for 3 years. And I can tell you what I remember from 3 years of education in physics and chemistry. Mary had a little lamb. No, that's not right. Little Mary's dead and gone. She won't be here no more. But what she thought was H2O was H2SO4. Here endeth my chemistry lesson. But I did enjoy history, as I said. And I was not good at English, as probably Mark could tell you, because I've sent some essays to him, and there's lots of red markings on my essays. But one occasion, I got 15 out of 20 for an essay. For me, that was like an A+. And the essay was on the life of a British pilot by the name of Douglas Bader. He was a fighter pilot in World War II who had previously lost both of his legs in a motorbike accident, and he had artificial legs. But he was, during his combat time, shot down. His plane was shot and it was crashing. He was about to parachute out, but one of his metal legs got stuck and he couldn't get out. So thinking quickly, he unbuckled the artificial leg and was able to parachute out. He was taken to a prisoner of war camp, and for what reasons or how it came about, I don't know. But they arranged to have another artificial leg flown in and parachuted into the prisoner of war camp for him. My essay was on his life, which I had read a year or two earlier. And the book on Douglas Bader's life is entitled Reach for the Sky. Why have I told you that? because that's what I want you to do today. Or as Caleb said it, give me this mountain. Now, Caleb, you've probably heard about. Douglas Bader, maybe not. But Caleb, of course, was one of those two spies that were sent into Canaan by Moses to spy out the land. And they came back with a favorable report, Joshua and Caleb. How many were sent in? 12. 10 to 2. But you know, the majority is not always right. Who knows the names of any of the 10? No, of the 10. Joshua and Caleb we know. What about these other 10? They're all mentioned in the scriptures. And I've yet to find someone who knows one of their names or is prepared to tell me what the names of one of them are. We don't remember them, but we remember Joshua and Caleb. We read about Caleb in Joshua chapter 14. And if you'd like to turn to that, then we're going to have a look at this. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7. To explore the land, I brought him back a report according to my convictions, but my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me that the land in which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, let's stop there. 40 years old, Caleb was given a job. So I'm speaking right now to you 40-year-olds. Now that's probably a pretty small group of people that are actually 40. So I'm going to expand it a little bit. I'm going to expand it to 30 to 50. If you're 30 to 50, then you're the people that I'm talking to, especially right now. Because that's the age group that Joshua was in. Someone many, many years ago, speaking about this particular age group, said, the 30, and in the church, the 30 to 50 year olds are the people that he referred to as the burden bearing people. Those that should be bearing the burden during this particular period of their life. They are the young, the energetic, hopefully the mature. Caleb was all of that, but one thing else. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. What does that mean? What does it mean to follow the Lord wholeheartedly? Well, what did Paul say to Timothy? Timothy, when Paul wrote to him, I'm not so sure, but I think possibly he was in that age group, or very close to it at least, this 30 to 50 years old. He was in the burden-bearing years. He has a man with a responsibility. He was a man that was given jobs to do. And if you're between the ages of 30 and 50, I recommend that today or as soon as you can, you read 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is Paul's instructions to young men and young women too that are in this age group. And one of the key phrases in this passage is train yourself to be godly. Being a godly person doesn't come naturally, doesn't happen by itself. It's something that you have to work on. But then further on, in verses 12 onwards, Paul says, be an example. 30 to 50 year olds, Apostle Paul is saying, be an example. But then I hear you say, but isn't that your job, you old folk? Shouldn't you be examples? Of course. But Paul is talking to the 30 to 50 year olds and saying, you be an example. Be example to the younger people. Be example to your peers in how you live your life. In fact, he says, how you live your life and in love. Obviously, your love for God, your love for God's people. Men, your love for your wives. Men, husbands, love your wives, the Bible says. Are you an example to others by the way in which you treat and love your wife and kids? In faith and in purity. You see, Paul was writing to a community, he was writing to Timothy, who lived in a community where immorality abounded, where immorality was in some cases part of the religious performances, part of religion. We don't live in a too different society today where sexual immorality is disregarded. The Word of God says that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, live a life of purity that is an example to others. He also goes on and says, concentrate on the scriptures, read the scriptures, make the scriptures something that is important in your life. He also says, don't neglect the gift that God has given you. The Bible tells us that if each one of us has been particularly, specially, uniquely gifted by God to serve him, don't neglect it. If you're not sure what it is, make sure you find out what it is and stir it into flame, as he encourages Timothy. Don't neglect it. And then finally he says these in verses 15. He says, be diligent. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Not part-time. The Christian life, being a Christian, is not a part-time or shouldn't be occupation. It should be a whole of life occupation. Paul says to these 30 to 50 year olds, give yourself wholly. Be Caleb-like in holy serving the Lord. Now we come back to where we stopped in Joshua, to the now then. When we pick up the story in Joshua, in the now then, 45 years have expired. Caleb is no longer 40, but 85. Not quite as old as Mr. Colley, but 85 years old. And he is still living a life holy for the Lord. Nothing has changed in this regards. It says in verse 10, now then, he's reminding Caleb of what the Lord had said. Just as the Lord promised to keep me alive, he's kept me alive for these 45 years since the time that Moses sent me. He said, so I am here today, 85 years old. I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go to battle as I was then. Now give me this hill country. I like the authorized version that says, give me this mountain. He wasn't after a little hillock, little rise in the ground. He wanted a mountain. Give me this mountain. What does that tell me? Caleb was saying, I'm not finished yet. He's 85 years old. And he's saying, I'm not finished yet. Mr. Colley, you're 89 years old, but God is not finished with you yet. I remember talking to you some years ago when you had that heart attack on the street and we thought you were going to go. And I said to him, I said, Collier, God is not finished with you yet. And he's still not finished with you. He'd not finished with Caleb, and Caleb would determine not to finish but to continue on. And what did he say? He said to him, give me this mountain. Now that's where the Anakites were, up in the mountain, in the fortified cities. Caleb was not saying, oh, let's give me that little bit of pasture down by the riverside where it's very calm and quiet. He says, no, give me the difficult job to do. Give me this mountain to take. And now I come to the now then of Paravista. Now then, church at Paravista. We've come to a new year. We're facing 2020. We have a new chapter ahead of us. Now then what? Well, let me think of the 15 to 30 year olds. I want to bring the younger people that may feel that they've been neglected, overlooked. I'm talking to you now, 15 to 30 year olds. I think most of them are over here. Maybe one or two around. You know, if you're 15 or thereabouts, maybe you're saying, I'm still in the getting ready stage. That might be true. But 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, God can still use you this year. You can be an example in your school in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't think you're too young. And those of you that are at the other end of that scale, the 25 to 30 year olds, what are you going to do in 2020? What are your goals? God can use you too. What mountain would you like to climb in 2020? Remember the key. Remember Caleb's secret. He was wholly given over to the Lord. The 30 to 50 year olds. I've had a bit of a go at you already, haven't I? Andrew Cow calls it the missing generation. He includes himself in this category. 30 to 50 year olds, is it time this year for you to step up, to seize the moment that 2020 offers? There are opportunities galore to serve the Lord. Are you willing? Are you prepared? You know, to a very large extent, you 30 to 50 year olds are the future of the church. The church is to go on into the future. It will largely depend upon the 30 to 50 year olds now. Because let me tell you something that you might not be aware of. We 50 year old pluses are not going to be here too much longer. Oh, we might be here for a few years yet. But don't wait till we're gone before you start doing something. Seize the moment. Step up to the plate. Take the opportunity to be Caleb-like. 50 to 85-year-olds. Well, that's my group. So maybe we just skip over them. It's going to be too convicting. No, 50 to 85. And if you're over 85, Mr. Colley, you're not excluded. We'll include you with this group. Now, you 50 to 80-year-olds, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you haven't got the strength that you had 30 or 40 years ago, have you? You haven't got the mobility. You can't do the things that you were able to do when you were 30 or 40 or even 50. We certainly don't have the strength, the ability, the mobility that Caleb appeared to have at 85. Note what it says in verse 14. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb because he followed the Lord God of Israel wholeheartedly. You know what Paul said to Timothy, 50 to 80 year olds? He says to you too, don't neglect the gift that God has given you. You know, when someone talks along those lines, do you feel a little bit like Moses? You know, when God spoke to Moses, when God approached Moses, he was 80 years old, wasn't he? 80 years old. God said, I've got a job for you, Moses. And Moses says, not me, Lord. I'm not your man. I'm 80 years old, for goodness sake. I haven't got the abilities to do what you want me to do. And what did the Lord say to Moses? He asked him a question. He said, Moses, what have you got in your hand? What have you got in your hand? And there's Howard Hendricks who tells the story, says, just a dirty old stick, just a piece of wood. That's all I got. Do we sometimes feel like the disciples who were faced with mission impossible? 5,000 plus people. And the Lord said, go feed them. How can we do that? We've got nothing. Do you feel like that? You've got nothing to offer? The Lord said, what have you really got? And what did they come up with? A boy's lunch. But what is that amongst so many? That's a pathetic, useless offering. So the question comes to you as it comes to me. What have you got in your hand? What have you got? Well, I'll tell you what you've got. And what you've got in your hand neither needs nobility, mobility, strength, energy, youth, or any of that. What you've got, it's time. Maybe not as much as time ahead of you as these people have, but you've got time. You have time in your hands. The question is, how are you going to spend it? How are you going to spend the time that God is giving you day by day? James says, the prayer of a righteous man or woman has great effect. It's powerful and effective. My fellow 50 to 85 year olds and thereafter, we have the power of prayer in our hands. We have the gift of prayer. No matter how old, how invalid, how disabled, we can still pray. We can still pray. Peter says, as he quotes the Psalms, when he says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. What mountain could you attack with what you have? Possibly most powerful weapon of all, the weapon of prayer. A man that had a great influence and impact upon my life when I was just a teenager in my early 20s said this little phrase, which I've always remembered. He said, "The yielded life becomes the wielded life." The life that is yielded to God is the life that God can use. I'm also attracted and fascinated by the incident that we read of in Mark chapter 14. And Mark records an incident in the life of the Lord in Mark chapter 14 about a woman who he doesn't name. It's an unnamed woman. And you may recall that she comes as Jesus is sitting there eating, and she comes and she anoints him with this oil. The Lord concludes this little passage by saying, people will always remember this. Here was a woman that will always be remembered for what she did. Two amazing statements in that passage in Mark 14. The first one is, she broke the jar. What does that mean? She gave the lot. She didn't just pour some of it out. She broke the jar. She gave it all to the Lord. She was wholehearted. She was 100%. She gave the lot. There's no holding back. And the other little phrase that the Lord says about her is this: she did what she could. And that's what the Lord only expects of you and me, just to do what you can do. She did what she could do, but she did it wholeheartedly unto the Lord. We're going to finish a bit early today, and I don't think I'll have anyone object to that. But I want to ask you some questions. I want, if you wish, to perhaps close your eyes and take a moment to think through. What amazing thing would you like God to do this year? What would you like God to do with you or through you this year? I would encourage you to be Caleb-like and reach for the sky and say, Lord, give me this mountain. While all the time remembering Caleb's secret, he served the Lord wholeheartedly. Has God put something into your mind, into your heart, about this year? Something that might seem impossible. A mountain too high to climb. A project too hard to achieve. Something that's beyond your capabilities. Can I encourage you to pray, Lord, give me this mountain. Enable me this year to do whatever it is that I can. Maybe it's some person that needs to know the Lord. Maybe that seems like a mountain. You've spoken to them a lot of times. They've heard the message many times. And it just seems a mission too hard to get. A nut too hard to crack. That could be the mountain. Lord, give me this mountain. Let's pray. Father, as we have already entered into this new year. We just pray that as we contemplate the future, unknown to us, totally known to you. Lord, it is my prayer that we may, that I may, go forward with courage and determination and perseverance to claim the mountain. To expect you to do things that only you can do. As we endeavour to live lives that are pleasing to you, that are given over, that are yielded to you, that are surrendered to you, help us, we pray, to be earnest in our prayers. Help us, our Father, to do whatever we can do so that amazing things will happen in this church, in our families, in our community throughout the days that come ahead. Challenge us, encourage us, bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.